Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happened to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichiku today.
We are grateful to you, Lord. We are grateful.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are grateful. I'm grateful to you, Lord. We are grateful. The glory is here. The glory is here. The glory. The glory. The glory. The glory. The glory. Everyone who came here with symptoms, check it. You are healed already. This is not the one that happened because I prayed. The glory is here. The glory is here. Miracles are happening. Miracles are happening. Miracles are happening. Doors are opening. Kaya katata. The glory of God is here. Hey. The desert places are overflowing. Rivers flowing, rivers flowing, rivers flowing, rivers flowing, rivers flowing. Men are knowing God. Men are beholding the glory. Lives are changing. Hallelujah. Every hand lifted and sing it one more time. Eshe o,
Eshe,
Eshe o,
Eshe,
Oluwa o,
Eshe o, Emashe.
How you have blessed us. Brought us a mighty long way, giving us rest round about, established us in your rest. We have ceased from all struggles, we have ceased from all labors, we have found rest for our souls. How you bless us and increase us and multiply us with your peace and your prosperity. We give you praise. Father, I want to specially thank you for inspiring our hearts to start this service, Church for Proof. I want to thank you for what you started doing from that time in August, in July, in August, and now in this September. We are not the same men. We are not the same men. That started. You've changed our lives. You've
taught us. Your wisdom has built us up, strengthened us. You've enlightened us. And the blessings that you speak and you bestow upon the works of our hands are unquantifiable. Our hearts are enlarged. We are now much more prosperous. We are excellent because of your words, because of your words spoken to us. We now have dominion. The struggles are over concerning our finances. We give you praise. And even when we see it, when we see it, when we see it, we now know what to do to get there. We give you praise. Thank you for your visions of excellence, your visions of abundant prosperity. And thank you for teaching us how to do it your way, with our faith intact, with our soul prospering, pleasing you and making so much money and pleasing you with that money. To you be all the glory. To you be all the honor. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Speak to us one more time today. Touch our lives in a special way. One word suffers. One word is enough. Just one word. Bring that revelation that will change everything else. For our path is such that shines brighter and brighter. Your light in us never dim. We never know a better last month, a better last year. So our heart is open for much more increase. And we glorify your holy name. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Let the people of God say a very big amen. If your life has been better and you're moving much more forward since you started attending church for pros, give the Lord a special thanksgiving. A praise today. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome everyone by your side. Thank God for another opportunity. I like making money. It's one of my good passions. How many of you like making money? And one thing I noticed is that money likes me a lot. I'm a magnet for money. So today, I'm going to be very direct. If you're here and you're new, I welcome you. If you're here and you've been following our teachings, which has been on since August into this September, and we've been on one subject, understanding true financial prosperity. Because a lot of people misunderstand what it is. Somebody say, understanding true financial prosperity. If you're here and you've been following our teachings, the question you've got to ask yourself is, have I been applying the truth I've been receiving? That's all. Those who hear and write without doing it, the scriptures say, deceive themselves. They are self-deceivers. The blessing in hearing is for you to know what to do and how to apply it rightly and appropriately. But the real results you want to see in your finances is in the application of the things you learn. If you finish writing things on paper, finish writing things on your tabs, and you finish listening to these and say, wow, wow, this thing is awesome, you know, and gaining understanding, and you're not applying yourself to it, you're making a very serious mistake. For example, we taught you. that financial prosperity does not answer to men's wishes. You don't wish yourself into being rich financially. And it doesn't answer to misdirected prayers, praying from now to tomorrow. We taught you that. We taught you that there has to be an understanding of the covenant that God made for prosperity. There are things that God has put in his word that makes for prosperity. It's not a mystery. You have to be untrue to yourself. You have to be untrue to yourself. Because the truth is, people can actually lie to themselves successfully. You have to be untrue to yourself and lie to yourself to ignore and to miss the principles that God has put in his word for prosperity. They are clear. They are not mysteries. They are not hidden. So you don't pray your way into financial prosperity. It's not a prayer thing. You can start with prayer, and there is nothing wrong about praying about it. God wants us to pray about everything. And he said, call unto me, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things you are not aware of. But I want to always tell you that when you pray about prosperity, God's answer is not to give you money. No. God gives supernatural supplies. He gives miraculous supplies by his mercy. But no miraculous supply, no favor. One favor can make you rich. Did you hear what I said? Not one open door can make you rich. Don't make that mistake. Never make that mistake. These are the kind of mindsets that have kept a lot of Christians and spiritual people poor. The way you get into financial prosperity is that you learn your way into it. You learn your way. You must be willing and committed to sitting at the feet of Jesus and be taught and receive the wisdom of God. And receive the wisdom of God. Very, very key and very important. So when you pray majorly, what God does is that he brings to you the revelation that delivers the keys to unending flow of financial prosperity. What you want is not just a contract. What you want is not just a job. A job doesn't make you rich. What you want is not just a business. What you want is unending streams. Somebody say unending streams. Say a flow of unending prosperity. That is your portion in the name of Jesus. And that comes by the revelation of the truth. Knowledge and principles and wisdom, the application of it. It comes by the impartation and the appropriation of the spirit of wisdom to practice the revealed truth given to you. To practice the revealed truth. So if God brings a revelation to us and you don't practice it, it's of no use to you. It's of no benefit to you. So when you're ready and you're willing and you're committed to walking with God in truth, obeying him and serving him, when your heart is dedicated to it, every time people come to me to mentor them when it comes to wealth, the first thing I'm always ask them is, do you have a heart for it? There is a heart with which you make money. There is a heart with which you multiply money. It's a heart. I always tell them, do you have a heart for it? And it's sad to say, it's unfortunate. Having met a lot of young people, and including those who love God and serve God, it's sad to say, not a lot of people have a heart. They're not committed to doing what it takes, and they won't do it. And that's what distinguishes people. So Never forget what I'm about to say. What distinguishes and separates a financially successful man from financial mediocres or from financial failures is that they do daily, and they are committed and dedicated to doing daily, consistently, what mediocres do often here and now. Sometimes they do it when they charge. Maybe they are under pressure, or they are under pain, or they want to save themselves from shame, or something is very important. For example, if you see the way people raise money to do burial and how much they spend in burial, if they will use the same heart to raise money for business, they will be successful. But they won't do it. But they don't want to suffer shame. How can people come to our house and see the house like this? We need to renovate it. If you see where somebody is going to raise money, because they said, the landlord said, I'm going to take your things out, and he doesn't want the shame of his wife and his children to be out on the streets and people to laugh at them. If you see how they break down doors, most people, mediocres, only work hard when they're under pressure. Only go the extra mile when there is something they need to do, or they want to cover themselves from shame. So financial successful people do daily what financial mediocres do often here and there. And guess what? What financial failures seldom do, they are always afraid to do. What distinguishes us is our hearts. Somebody say our hearts. That's what distinguishes us. The courage, the dedication to the process. For example, I've taught you that on planet Earth, there are three major means of financial prosperity. Three. These three major means will lead you to financial prosperity. The only thing is that the end thereof, they are different. Those of you who can remember, remind me again. What's the first one? Talk to me now. What's the first one? Natural means. What's the second one? You know, we've been on natural means. And I said, that's the one I need to deal with very well. Because when it comes to the spiritual things, those of us in church, we are very used to it. What's the second one? Demonic means. What's the third one? Kingdom means. God has a way. And it's different from what the natural man does. There has to be something that must distinguish me, differentiate me, separate me from a man who does not have the life of God, who does not have the Holy Spirit, and does not have the wisdom of God. If both of us have to do the same thing, go the same way, and get the same results, why am I serving God? Something makes me different. Somebody here under the sound of my voice, shout, I'm not a mere man. Come on, shout, I'm not a mere man. Say, I'm a son of the living God. Say, I'm a partaker of the divine nature. Say, I'm of the God class. Do you believe that? Give him a big praise. Now, we spend so much time on natural means. And today is not boot camp, so I won't ask questions now. But for those of you who can remember, Who can tell me why we spend so much time on natural means? One person that can just make me excited. Why did we spend so much time on natural means? Yes. Okay, speak.
Okay, good afternoon, pastors. Good afternoon, pastor. Good afternoon, church. Pastor, thank you so much for all that you do for Love Sons. Thank you so much for the trainings.
Just go straight.
Okay, so, Pastor, we spend so much time in the natural means because you said earlier that the spiritual means, the kingdom means, and the demonic means can't work effectively without the natural means. And you said even the demonic people that go and use the demonic means, you always notice that one that has something doing always comes out with results compared to the one that has nothing doing. So the natural means is always the means through which either of the spiritual means would show forth. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Give me a good God bless you. So 10 people went to say they want to do Okite. 10 of them. Only 2 came out rich. Why? 10 friends are in church. They went for encounter night. There was prophecy. They are doing this, they are doing that. Only 2 came out rich. Why? The ones that are using demonic means, they are doing G-boy. 10 of them are sitting on top of 30s. Only 3 picked and are picking. Why? Listen carefully. If you're going to be financially rich on earth, hear me now. Hear me. Anybody that must prosper financially on this planet earth, no matter your belief, no matter your nationality and race, no matter your gender, no matter your age, if you like be Christian, if you like be Muslim, if you like be Hinduist, if you like be traditionalist, you must operate the natural laws of financial prosperity before it works for you. There are natural laws God has put on earth. And it has nothing to do with who you are or where you come from. And you know one thing about laws. Laws are constant and they are laws. They favor no one. And they discriminate not against anyone. If you engage them rightly, they favor you. If you violate them, they work against you. That's how laws are. So it has nothing to do with God likes me, God doesn't like me, God favor me, God doesn't favor me. The word luck is only meaningful to failures. Every successful man knows that success has nothing to do with luck. Every successful man knows that success is a process and a system you respect. You engage it, it works for you. So there are few things that are very predictable as success. Success is very, very predictable. Very predictable. So these natural means are facilitated by natural laws. Somebody said natural laws. And these laws are established principles and systems that God himself has put in place in creation to operate the earth naturally. They work for anyone that engages them rightly, and they work against anyone that violates them. They are constant, they don't discriminate. So this is the reason 1,000 persons tithe in church. 1,000 persons are in a service and the pastor prophesies and they say amen. The blessing of the Lord comes upon them and they shout amen. They go out and only 100 of them become financially rich. Only 100 out of 1,000. It's because the 100 received the blessing And that blessing came upon the foundation of their respect and their engagement masterfully of natural laws. Did you understand that? Wave your hands if you're getting me. Are you getting me? The mercy of the Lord can intervene. Miracles is God's intervention. And a person who is violating this law can get a miracle. For example, a person who has been violating this law is now in a fix, about facing shame, and he cries out to God, "Please, Lord, I need you." The mercy of the Lord can come in there and intervene, and the person will receive a miracle. But that miracle doesn't mean you have become rich. A man can receive a miracle of 20 million this year, and in the next 2 years, still be begging. Did you understand what I'm saying? Never think that one financial miracle settles your life. There is not one open door that settles people's lives. People have had an open door, and God introduced them to someone that will change their lives forever. And because of their laziness and their disrespect of relationships, they don't value relationships. They close the door that God opened. They don't even know how to study on how to maintain and service power relationships. So God's favor opened the door. Their laziness closed it. God's favor can give a man a job, and the person's lack of character will get him fired from the job the blessing brought. Is that right? So, most times, I want you to know that the equation, when it comes to building financial wealth as a believer, a lot of equation, don't bother about God's side. God is never faithful. What you should focus on is to be the man prepared to handle what God's favors can hang, is going to be bringing to you. That's what he's prepared. The Lord told me that many years ago. That's when I started learning about systems, about leadership, about different things. The Lord told me many years ago. He said, "Son, you've been praying. The wealth of the wicked shall be converted to you. The wealth of the wicked shall be converted to you." You were claiming it. Many, many years ago, I was praying that way. And the Lord said, "Okay, if I decide now that I will give you Nigerian bottling company, Coca-Cola, the soft drink company, everything in Nigeria, I will convert it to you. You will now become the major shareholder. You are now supposed to be the head and run the company. What will happen to the company in the next 3 years? Do you have the proficiency? Do you have the wisdom? Do you have the capacity, the competence to handle that level of work?" He said, many of us are praying for favors we can't handle. He said, so stop praying about certain things. He said, first of all, go and allow me to get you prepared. For example, if you're here, and you're lazy, you're idle, you're in your youth, from 15, 16 years, you have entered your youth, till you're 70, you're still in your youth. Even after 70, you can decide that, Caleb said it at 80, he said, "I still have the strength as if I'm young. Give me a mountain to take." The day you stop being young is the day you stop having a vision. If you still have a vision to live for, and you still have that passion and drive to accomplish things, you're a young man. You're a young woman, not your age. Let me give you an example of a man of God. This happened just a few. He's 84 years old. He used to come for Kenneth Copeland's meetings and ministers' conference, and he will come every year. Now, this man of God has been successful if in terms of other metrics you call that a minister is successful. In their city, God has used him and the church that God used him to start to win, listen, and bring 1.8 million people to Christ. That's a people recorded that have given their life to Christ in their church. You better give God praise for that. Now, that is over a space of 40-something years of working for God. 40-something years. He said the projects they have done, both in their city and all over the world, in their mission places, are in billions. Averagely every year, their budget is over $50 million every year. Every year, a church, over $50 million. I mean, don't even calculate that. They have blessed lives. They have, and he has served God. This man in every way is successful. He said, but at the age of 80 years, the Lord told him, he said, son, you're not coming yet. I'm giving you a new lease of life and strength. He said, before you will come to meet me, I want you to plant 50 churches in third world countries. Extra 50 churches in third world countries. And when I mean plant, you will get the property, you will put up the building, you will go for the evangelism, you people will get train the pastors and have the church established. And so he turned to Kenneth Copeland and said, you know, I've never left your meeting, but now we are going to South Sudan. We are going to different places. And we are planting these churches, and I have to leave and I have to fly now. And at the time he was saying it, he was 84 years old. And there are 60 years people that have retired to the village. You see, the day you stop having a vision of something greater to live for is the day old age starts hitting you. The day you stop having a vision of what to live for, old age hits you. The Bible says, and your young men shall see vision. So far as you have a vision of something more, God will renew your youth as the eagles. You will have strength for it. The tiredness people feel in their lives is that they no longer have viable visions to live for. So hear me and hear me well. Never forget this. Please, I'm saying this with all of my heart, and listen carefully. In your whole life, never forget this. Anywhere you find laziness, there is no amount of prayer that will bring wealth. Somebody is violating the law. Please, church, what is the natural law, the ultimate natural law of financial prosperity? Shout it, because there is somebody by your side that needs to hear it. The what? The law of what? Is it the law of activity? I'm asking you, is it the law of activity? Work is not activity. What is work? Productivity. Work is not valor. Work is value. It's not you're strong, you're brave, you can push. That's not work. Work is value. Work is not I'm planning. Work is making progress. Work is not I'm believing. Work is building. Move from believing to building. Help me ask 3, 4, 5 people by your side, what are you building? You're either building a career professionally or you're building a business. Let me say that again. You're either building a career or you're building a business. If all you're doing is looking for anything that you see, you put it on your WhatsApp update. You sell this one, you collect money. You sell this one, you collect money. You're a lazy person. You're making money here and there, but you're building nothing. Every work you're doing must reflect in improving something, building something. You have to have a clear vision, know exactly what you're building. Not everybody is called to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody will be the big risk taker. Not everybody will be a pioneer of a business. There are people that don't do so well being the number one. And God didn't give them the grace for it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, those who are not like that, you have to build your skills to become so valuable that those who have larger corporations, those who are entrepreneurs that will be number one, will not be able to do what they want to do without you. So we call them intrapreneurs. You are now the ones that will help those who are number one, and they can't do it without you. Guess what? There are a lot of intrapreneurs that earn more money than the entrepreneur that started the business. It's later that the person who started the business starts making more money. In fact, every good businessman knows that there is a phase of your business that you have to get people who are very, very professional. Those who are very skilled and experts in handling different sectors, because now you mean business, you're moving from a small business and you're upscaling. You want to do an operation. This is not just selling and buying and selling. You now want to build a proper company, a proper business. You have to hire people that know better than you, people who are smarter than you, more skillful than you in marketing, more skillful than you in this, in digital this, more skillful than you in administrations, in this and all those things. And there is a phase where you don't pay yourself so you can pay them well. If not, what you do will remain small. Roadside business. So either you're building a career that will become so valuable you're highly sought after. Building skills that are relatable, relevant, and in demands. You look at the next 5 years, the where the world is moving. The way the world is moving, the next 5 years, what are the skills that are going to be sought after the most? And you make yourself a person of value. Or you are building a business yourself. There must be something you're building. It's easy to be roaming about. Somebody wants to sell a car, sell. Somebody wants to do this. Roaming about without direction. Make money here, make money there. Make money here, make money there. It's easy to do that. The real thing is to bring yourself to a point and say, this is the name of my business. These are the things these businesses will be doing. This is where we are. This is where I'm starting from. But this is where I want us to go. This is the path we are going to follow. So you plan the path of progress. Planning it. From here, we will move to here. From here, we will move to there. And you sit down and you carve it out. And then, every time you go to work, every hour and minute you put into the work is to get closer to your plan. Building something one block after another. Building it warm and getting better. This is the skill I want to have. I want to be sought after. I want to be this in this climb, in this sphere, in this particular industry. These are the things. I want to be this and I want to get to the peak of it. These are the steps and the different things I have to go to get there. And then you start working on it. You take this training. You upgrade yourself here. Sometimes it will require you working in a place and in an industry for less money than another thing is giving you. Because it's not about money. It's about something you're building. Wealth is not heat. Nobody heats wealth. Wealth is built. That's what makes you make a deal, get some money, and instead of going to buy the lesser Mercedes, you come down and go and buy a 2012 Toyota or a Japanese car, easy to maintain, easy to do this, and take more money and put into something because there is a vision. And you're not trying to live for anybody's accolade or applause. It's not about, you're not saying, this December I will show them in the village the last time these small boys were oppressing everybody. My time. Anytime you come to church, you say, it's my time, it's my turn. With all humility, I will tell you this. With all humility. I don't have anything fancy. First of all, it's my person, and I don't preach it as a doctrine. It's my person. I don't like attention to myself. I don't like it. Anybody that knows me knows that. I don't like attention to myself. It took me time for me to accept for people to call me pastor. I don't like it. Pastoring is a calling. It's not a title for me. I prefer me called by my name, sincerely. I don't introduce myself outside as Pastor this. I introduce myself as David. In fact, if you have met me in church and I'm introducing myself to you, what I'll tell you is, I'm David, right? Yes, that's what I tell you. I'm David. I don't like it. It took me time for me. In fact, it was the Holy Spirit that had to now condition me to put my face on flyer and billboards for this church. When the church started, I refused to do it. I don't like attention to myself. Let me tell you what I like. I like my doings to be talking. I like results. I like my works to speak louder. That's how I like it. I like that by the time you now meet me, you find out that my private successes, that what you are seeing in the public is nothing compared to when you come close to me. Now, everybody is not the same. And God created us differently for different purposes. So, you mustn't be like me. Be yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But whatever it is, the principle is this. Everybody look at me. Wave your hands if you're in church. Are you here? Are you here? Listen to the principle. The principle is focus on results, not noise. Focus on results, not noise. There are many people, the Bible said, that appears to be rich and has nothing. And there are people that appear not to have nothing, but they have servants. Focus on results, not noise. In fact, many times with noise, you attract battles and you attract devils you are not even equipped to handle. Noise, you confuse things and you start attracting an attack and you don't even have the stamina. Do they used to call EFCC for your broke maple? I'm asking you. So what if you're making noise and they now call EFCC? And when EFCC now comes, that kind of attack, and you don't even have the connection to get out of it. Because in some countries that are jungles, it's not about law. I pray God gives you understanding. Eh? How many of you understood what I just said? If you're living in a country that is a jungle, it's no longer about who is right and wrong. Anything can be placed on the head of any man. Is who can flex power. Who has connections and who has the money. Now you're showing yourself everywhere. Showing yourself. The thing don't do boom now. Do you have the connections? I've had about two different times the enemy wanted to do something. One was a false allegation that was brought against me. by a mother of a young lady that was in our church. Because the mother was living a bad life, collecting someone else's husband. That man had children. And I'm saying this, listen to me. That man had children and a wife living in a city. And this woman collected the man. The man left the wife and the children and went to live with a woman just a few streets away. Not even another city, the same city. So one of the meetings like that, we were praying. This lady has always said the uncle, always called the man the uncle. Now this woman also had her own children but had left the husband. And I was praying, and while I was praying, I saw a woman pointing at her. And then that woman will cry in that vision, and she will hit her hand on the ground and begin to rain curses on that girl. And I called her and said, God showed me a vision. I'm seeing what you're going through, and she was going through certain things. What you're going through, what is it? I'm seeing a woman, and she's in tears, and she's pointing and raining curses. And the Lord told me that the curses will work. Because it's a curse with a curse. So, and suddenly the Holy Spirit told me, and I said, that man you're calling uncle, how is he related to you? And then she opened up and told me the story. And I told her, I said, listen, I know this man is giving you people money, is helping your mother as a single mother that is taking care of herself. I said, from today, stop taking anything that comes from that man. Go through the suffering. I said, if, and confront your mother and tell her officially that you're removing yourself from this. Tell her she is wrong and tell her you, and go to God in repentance for the ones you have collected and remove. I said, because whatever cause comes from that woman, I say, if you like, be full of the Holy Spirit, it will land on your head. Because you have opened a legal door to demons. By partaking of the iniquities of your mother. You cannot eat of the proceeds of iniquity and not bear the causes of iniquity. I said, so take your way. I said, suffer for Jesus. You will suffer, or you will not eat the way you used to eat. You will not wear the hair you used to wear. Your things will come down. But God out of it will lift you up. And so she did it. And when she did it, this woman went mad and felt like the church she was going was where it was coming from. Now she called her ex-husband, who was connected from Abuja. The ex-husband, obviously concerned about her daughter, called the police commissioner from Anambra. And they labeled me everything with the man. First of all, the policemen came to the church and we were preparing for a service. They said I was a cultist. They said I was different things. They said that I used to lock people in rooms, that our church is a prayer place where people are chained. They said their daughter has been under a spell and chained. There was nothing. And that police commissioner was the police commissioner that sacked Okeja Shrine. So that police commissioner has a personal issue with all these things that people are doing in spiritism. By the time they came for me, they first of all saw me, the glory of God tamed them. They said, are you arresting me or inviting me? They said, they are inviting me. I said, so I can't come now. I have church service. I'll come tomorrow. They took this girl and then they went and locked her inside a cell in B Division in Oka here. That's where they locked her, inside a cell in B Division. You know what happened? The one I planned to go tomorrow, when I now heard it, I went that evening after service. Thank God my father was around, because what I planned to do that day, he was holding me. I said, Pastor, calm down. You know, I was much that time, you know, now I'm wiser. Praise God. I met the DCO and different things. God gave us honor. They knew me in Oka already. Some of the policemen knew me, and so they respected me and brought out the girl. And I told them, I said, we are going to be in the commissioner's office. What they didn't know is that I and the commissioner and his family eat dinner and lunch together. That's what they didn't know. So when they brought me into the office and ushered me in, and the mother was there, commissioner stood up, hugged me, we greeted, and he said, is he Pastor David you are talking about? That's where case scattered. And by the time I was through talking to the commissioner, what commissioner did to that woman in that place, she will never forget it all her life. What if? That's the first time. The second one were people who wanted to take a property from my father. That property he had given to the ministry as gift to God. And so they went in there and started building in another state, in Delta State, Asaba. I came there, saw their building. I didn't do anything. I'm saying it on air. I didn't do anything. I just said, if I come back here tomorrow and see this building, whatever happened, I don't know. But the building came down. Maybe angels brought it down. They all came down immediately. Because when I start training you for success and for finances, you must learn to be armed for war. You must what? You must what? You must learn. And so they connived again. It was another policeman that told me what was happening. They have a system. So what they do, they waited for when the judiciary will go on recess. So what they do is, they'll put a case on you, and the case they connived is that I sent thugs to come to the people who were working there, and they beat them up. They came with gun. They came, so they will take it from a civil case. It will now become a criminal case. I want you to be listening. The point was to come to Oka and arrest me and then detain me. During a weekend, I won't be able to assess anything. And by the next Monday, the court will be going on recess, and they will put you in prison. Before you come out, and the court is back from recess, before you come out, they've done whatever they want to do. And sometimes they bribe people, and people don't come out of prison. Men are wicked. For things that are not, that don't belong to them. Things that we are very evident. But how many, having God's blessing, the first miracle is that the person they sent, when he came to Oka and saw me, the moment he stood before me, he began to confess. He said, he can't do this to me. And he told me, please, I should just come. I said, I won't follow you. I'll come tomorrow. He said, you will come. So they told me where I was going to come. In their police headquarters in Asaba. And they were waiting for me in their CID section. But that night, God had given me favor. Also giving my father favor. I had two police commissioners on speed dial. And I had another two retired police commissioners. And I called them. And when I finished calling them, they called the police commissioner in Asaba, in Delta State. So I drove straight to Asaba, Delta State. Police commissioner said, can they serve me tea? The Lord said, yes, I don't do that outside. I said, serve me tea. They brought tea. They now went and called all of them into police. They were waiting for me at the CID section. I was in the police commissioner's office. When they came, they saw me cross my leg. I was taking tea. And police commissioner now began to deal. By the time he was through,
By the time they not told me, do you want my work? The man that came, he said, Pastor, did I do a wrong thing? I said, no, your work is safe. If you want, do you want me to talk to the police commissioner? But I wasn't going to come to where you came. You told me to come. You see, why did I say these things? God, my trust is not in men. And even if I didn't have and know any police commissioner, it doesn't make any meaning. I know God. But be careful that you don't put yourself out there and appear to be what you're not. Focus on results. Let me hear you shout results. Let me hear you shout results. I lift my hands in the presence of God and I declare over someone, before the battle will come, the victory will be prepared for you. And if you're here and there's been any gang up against you, against your prosperity, against your progress, or even anyone who represents a source of blessing to you, and the enemy has been trying to bring them down, today I declare their deliverance from it. May the Lord my God deliver you from wicked and unreasonable men in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever legal battle has been against you is now overturned into your favor in the mighty name of Jesus. My God fights your battles. Is somebody receiving it? Shout your loudest amen. Shout your loudest amen. Sit down. So the question I want to ask you, because we are closing this, I want to ask you a question, please. Have you been applying and engaging that law? Remember, with seven dimensions, first one is hard work. And that's what all people know. What about dream work? Have you been doing your dream work? Why should you be attending this place? And after 1 month, I call you. What do you want to do? You say, Pastor, I don't really know yet at this time. So why are you sitting down here? After 1 month, who do you want to create your vision for you? You're waiting now. That's how people go and meet people that will prophesy nonsense over their head. Because you won't sit down and use your imagination. You're waiting for someone to tell you, you are supposed to be this, you're supposed to be this. Someone else is supposed to tell you. What about self-work? Because the version of you that will become a millionaire is not this version. For those of you who are millionaires, the version of you that will become a mega millionaire is not this version. For those of you that are mega millionaires, the version of you that will become a billionaire is not this version. Every time you want more, you must upgrade yourself. And growth does not happen accidentally. Growth happens intentionally. There must be a plan to grow and a pursuit of that plan. What about smart work? Have you been educating your mind, exposing your mind? What's the quality of thoughts and the quality of information you carry? Wealth comes from knowledge, what you know. Wealth circulates as information, the information you receive. There are a lot of opportunities that are going on right now, even in Nigeria, with all that we are saying about Nigeria. A lot of things you can take advantage of, but people don't even know. Information. What about teamwork? Have you been developing your ability to lead and how to gather people? Because to attempt matters of destiny alone is suicidal to it itself. You kill that vision. Nothing you want and nothing you dream of can be attempted and can be achieved alone. You must learn how to lead a team. Everything big is accomplished by a team. Have you learned to lead people? What about network? Have you learned to respect relationships, value it, build social connections, build power relationships, learn to form strategic alliances? These are the things we taught you. You will not move in a scale of 10 from 1 to 10 immediately. But have you moved from 1 to 2? Are you improving? Are you working on these things? And then brand work. Hello? The first thing you sell when you want to make money is yourself. You appear as one who is struggling. You appear poor. You appear broke. The rich runs from you. Your personal hygiene. How excellent you dress. That's the basic of it. When I see you, I don't know you. It's what my eye sees that I use to define you first before I meet you. My eyes meet you before I meet you. That thing, that person my eyes meet, is he interesting? Do you dress interesting? Do you have a carriage? Or do you talk anyhow? Wear sail pass. Walk around. You have to show yourself respect. Carry yourself with some form of dignity before people will think of you as anybody. Let me warn you. Look at me. I want to give you the mindset of the rich. Rich people have a lot on their plates. And your problem is one they don't want to add. Never appear a rich man looking like a problem. You won't get his attention. Never. Rich people are very busy. It's you that think that your problem should be another person's concern and responsibility. It's only in your mind. It's you that think that people should even help. Help you for what? This is what I teach all of you. Listen, whenever you are before a rich man, richer than you, more successful than you, has gone ahead of you, never come with a problem and never come to him looking for help. Come to him showing the value you can add to him. I tell people, if you want to get my attention, come to me with a plan to make me more money. I've used that all the time. I've done that with people in power. How can I be of help, sir? It will be my pleasure to add value. As a young guy in school, I traveled from Oka. I have an uncle who got me into two particular networking, and they were using funds and forms, EcoTrust and Trust Funds. And they were doing all these things. And so you know what I did? Instead of being downliner, I collected it, mastered what they were doing, and traveled from Oka, got to their head office in Lagos. Dressed so well, you wouldn't believe I was in my second year. You wouldn't believe in school. The Lord taught me very early. He said, when you're very young in age, dress more maturely so people take you more seriously. He said, as you are now increasing in age, dress younger so you can relate to everybody else. I went. Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, sir. You don't know me. How I carried myself. I want to see the CEO. In trust fund office, God is my witness. They say you don't have an appointment. I told him, I said, if I will end up getting to your CEO, and when I get to your CEO, and they find out that you are the one who stopped me from seeing him earlier, they will fire you. You want to make money, you're going to be bold. There is no space for the timid in this world. There is no what? That is good. You have to be sure of yourself. You have to be courageous. Be an introvert, but be bold. Be an extrovert, be bold. Your temperament doesn't matter. Boldness is not a temperament. Boldness is a conviction and a value you hold. I sat, when they brought me, I said, "What's your name, sir?" I said, "My name is Mr. David." And I said, "Sir, I came all the way from Accra because I saw what your company is doing. And I'm here to help you make more money." And the man sat up. Tell a man who is into business, "I'm here to help you make more money." He sat up. He said, "Talk to me." And I told him, I said, "My uncle introduced me to this and this. And I noticed in our car there is no operation of this and this and that. So I thought about it, that this and this and this. So I came to broker a deal. I want to be your representative and your liaison in our car. I want you to take the whole of Oka and bring your business to that place. What you're doing is great. It's empowering people. It's different things. And I want to do that. But I don't want to do it as a normal marketer. I'm here to broker a deal. What's my portion, sir?" We finished talking. He gave me another meeting. We finished. That's where I became a millionaire. That's the first business I did. The other time, I was still doing, you know, the media thing. Media coverage, sound coverage. You would do programs. There were fellowships that would do programs. We would provide them sound. I'll go to Enugu, get the sound, put all those things. We were doing media coverage. People who wanted to do studio, I was in music. And those were things that were giving me money. But that place didn't give me the money Trust Fund and Echo Trust gave me. That's where I made my first million. Ask your neighbor again, do you have heart? How many of you have heart? If you have heart, let me see your hands. Anybody that is sleeping does not have heart. There are people that have heart for movies. If you put a movie, I sleep. There is a movie I've been trying to watch for the past 1 week. I've not been successful to finish it. You see, whatever you have heart for is what you're passionate. That's what keeps you awake. That's what you're investing time. Time is passing and nothing. Now listen to this. I'll start concluding. And I want you to listen carefully to me. This is now where I taught you. I say, please. As much as we spent, everybody hear me. As much as we spent so much time on teaching you natural work, and we told you, and it's my desire that all of you will outwork your competitors. There should be no unbeliever that outworks you in your field. Because you don't just have natural strength, you have supernatural strength. You don't just have natural intellect, you have the wisdom of God. The grace of God gives you the edge to outperform everybody else. Nobody in your field should ever outwork you. I've given you that scripture. You know that scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 what? 10. Put it on the screen. First Corinthians 15:10. Hold that neighbor by your side, call him by his or her name. Say, "Mr. David." Say, "Hear the word of the Lord." Read to that neighbor, "Want to go." Was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was. Should anybody outwork you in your field? Should anybody outsmart you in your field? Say, because the grace of God is with me. Say, because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Wake up, sit up in the night, and think through. Pray in tongues. Leko shaka. Lord, give me a way out. There must be a way out to this. Lord, give me a strategy to expand my operations. This thing is coming in little, little. If it continues like this, it will take me 1,000 years before I reach where I want to. Pick up the right books. Make researches. There is so much. We are in the world of information. Set a 2-month target for yourself to become proficient in using AI. Use AI and do your researches. Get all the information you should get. I don't care if you're 50 years. Sit up! No matter what you do, there is a better way to do it. There is a faster way to do it. There is a more proficient way to do it. Reinvent your business. Reinvent yourself. Always create a bigger vision. Always create a bigger vision. Listen, if what you're doing now, the money you have can take care of it, your vision is too small. Have something that drives you to think of a way to do things better. Something that takes you out of every growth happens away from your comfort zone. Comfort zone is where great potentials are buried before they can manifest. When you are in a place of comfort for too long and everything is just happening, become uncomfortable. It means you're burying your vision. You are burying, you're losing time. There has to be something stretching you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting me. Now listen very carefully. This is what I told you. Master the natural laws and be a master of it. Outwork everybody else. Know your business. Nobody should know more than your business, no more than you in your business. Know what you do. I was listening to an astute businessman who is one of the richest men in the world, and he said something about him and his group. He said, we are 10 majorly in our group, the year he was talking. And he said, all of us are a master of something we invest in. He said, whenever we decide to expand our operations and invest in a sector, we must go and study it. It's either one person on the table is a master in that sector, or one person will devote himself to go and study it and master it. He said, we don't invest in anything we don't have thorough knowledge of. Stop trying to do things and be a novice in it. Knowledge is power. So master this. Outwork everybody else. But please, listen to me. This is where the difference comes. Please don't depend on it. Don't. That's the difference between you and an unbeliever. There are 4 things that limit natural prosperity. And if you depend on your hard work, depend on your connections, you depend on those people, I could have called a police commissioner and he would have betrayed me because someone would give him more money. It's possible. Anything could have happened. Number 1 is natural corruption. The curse is on this natural earth. I taught you that. Number two is adverse circumstances. There are things nobody sees, troubles and challenges and trials that happens that nobody prays for that happens. Sometimes what a man has worked hard building for 30 years can come down in 3 days and even in 1 day. Number three, you must remember the resistance and the attack of demonic forces. Satan and his demons attack people and resist people. You must know that there is a spiritual angle to the things that happen on earth. Don't be a fool. That's why God told us about Titan. Why? Because there is an insurance against a devourer. Now, look at this. Number four, the factors of man's evil and wickedness. That's the one we did last Sunday. Policies, corruption, crime, human being meets out wickedness that destroy others. Human beings oppress others and collect what belongs to them. Please, I'm begging you, don't depend on it. Never you trust in your work or in your... I want to show you scriptures. Write these scriptures down, please. Job chapter 31, verse 24 to 28. Write them down. Job chapter 31, verse 24 to 28. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. And then Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 to 8. Job chapter 31, verse 24 to 28. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 to verse 8. Read it to that neighbor. Want to go? If I have made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you're my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great and because my hand had gained much. If I had observed the sun when it shone. Or? So that my heart has been secretly and my mouth has kissed my hand. Verse 28 says what? This would have been iniquity. The deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. If my trust has been in my money, with my money. You see, there are some projects we want to do and I want to do, and we have more than enough to do it. I still don't trust that it will come out well because I have the money. Trust me. I still pray about it. I still commit it into the hands of God and ask Him to establish it, to perfect it, to guide us, to make the right choices, to get us the right vendors, to get us. I don't ever trust money. Ever. Don't ever trust your hard work. Don't ever trust people. Don't ever trust your connections. Ever. He said, if I have made gold my help, he said, it would have been an iniquity deserving of judgment. Iniquity, I would have denied God. Lift your hand and say, my confidence is in God. Shout it louder, my confidence is in God. I want you to listen to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. Fast, please. One to go. He who trusts in his riches will fall. Stop. Is it Pastor David saying this? I know you can go out and check. There are some rich men I know that trust in their riches. They have not fallen. Trust me, if God tells you that they will fall, they will fall. Trust me. God past man. God is wiser than man. He who trusts in his riches will fall. But the righteous will flourish what? You see, people that trust in riches, that's why many of them go into demonic means of wealth, which is what we are now going to start looking at differently later. So that I can show you, because the temptation is going to come. The devil will offer you different things. Because when we teach you about wealth and money, you've got to understand that the devil uses money as temptation to ensnare the souls of men. Money has power. And you have to be wiser. And money has power. The only way money works for you is when you make it a servant. Money can become a master, and is a dangerous master. There are people that money is not the one ruling their lives. There are people that God has given wisdom, and that's what I'm transferring to you. Money don't rule us, we rule over money. Money is a bad master. If you want to please God and be very rich, even richer than unbelievers, you must make money a servant. It's a bad master. You must control it and bring it under subjection. Money can make a child kill a father. I'm not telling you a story. It happened in my village. Two sons, they saw their father's whatever life insurance and what he was supposed to be paid, entitlement, and went to kill him in the night to go and collect it. I'm telling you. With, they strangled him and used pillow to suffocate him. Two sons, the day the father and the mother were coming to do dedication and baptism, and they were dancing, they didn't know they were dancing and dedicating people that will kill them. Money has made people kill their mother. Money has made people sacrifice people they love. Money. Money has made people abandon their faith. Forget about their morality. And that is not God's will. God's will is that we prosper in all things. Be in health even as our soul prospers. God's will is that we gain the whole world and not suffer the loss of our soul. For what will it profit a man that all we taught you was about money? You made money and you suffered the loss of your soul. So what's the difference between you and an unbeliever? Why are you even in church then? It is only in righteousness there is prosperity that comes through righteousness. And don't let the devil fool you. He big pass. He big pass. He big pass. He's larger. The richest people in this world are not those doing drug trafficking. It's still people who are selling products, services, and solutions. Is that true? No, they are not the people doing drug trafficking. It's not. They may make some money. There are companies offering technological solutions. Companies offering fashion solutions. Like Louis Vuitton. Telecommunication solutions, solving societal problems. And they are the richest around the world. They are, in fact, that these companies, some of their operations, in the profit they post in one quarter is more than the whole budget of some nations in a whole year. The profit they post in one quarter is more than the whole budget. And you know, the budget of many nations is they get all they are getting from the all their IGR, internal generated revenue in the country, plus the ones they will borrow. They will borrow from IMF, borrow from World Bank to run their budgets. Companies are just doing businesses and they are richer than nations. Don't let anybody fool you that crime pays more. The greatest wealth is in righteousness. Give God praise. It's a lie from the devil. It's a lie. And we're going to show you clear things. In fact, I'm not going to announce it. Let me keep quiet until I'm through planning it. But we're going to run very soon. The marriage school will come back. The next thing I'm going to run is a school of investments. Earning and multiplying wealth. Because I can't teach that from here. There are places I need to start giving you figures and talk things I won't talk from church. Amen. We'll get you into I won't hide anything from you. Because the richer you are, the more blessed I am. If you understand that, give God praise. Let's look at that scripture, Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Hold that neighbor, look them in the eye. Say, please hear the word of the Lord. Give me the NLT of that translation. Give me the NLT translation. Now, read it. One to go. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans or rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from God. Say, please, don't rely on hard work. Say, respect it. Engage the law. Master it. Outwork everybody else. But don't rely on it. Are you getting the secret now? Read that scripture again, verse 5. One to go. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans or rely on human strength and turn their heads away from the Lord. Keep reading, verse 6. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. Verse 7, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Verse 8, shout it loud. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Did you get now? So when limitations of the natural heat, the man whose trust is in men and in the natural will fail. But the man whose trust is not there but in the Lord will not be bothered. They say economy change. You go to an office, they say they fired you. You start laughing. They say, why are you laughing? They say, you can't fire me. I'm too blessed. He said, the reason you are able to give me this thing is because God has been telling me to leave and I didn't want to. You can't fire me. He said, now, thank you, sir. They fire you. You go into the office and hug the guy. Thank you so much. He said, why? My greatest promotion is about to happen. A door that wouldn't have opened if I was busy, focused here, is now about to open. And then you finish, you snap picture with everybody. Buy them soft drinks. Throw a party. And then tell them, see you on at the top. And walk away. And, you know, your faith will be fighting with your feelings. Your feelings won't still feel good. Then you go home and start worshiping. In all things, I give thanks. Lord, I thank you. I am blessed and not cursed. For this I know, all things work together for my good. because I love you and I'm the called according to your purpose. Instead of shame, you give me double honor. You are my shield, my glory, the lifter of my head. You are my refuge. I do not fear. I do not fear how the next man will come. I refuse to worry because you care for me. Lord, there is a purpose in this. Let it show. Open that door you need to open. Lord, give me an understanding of what must come out of this. There is a blessing in this. I lift you up and I praise you. You start doing that, that door will open up. Let me tell you, nothing works against the man who has faith in God. And it doesn't matter how long it might take, you will always win. Don't ever forget that. Are you hearing me? Don't ever forget that. Let all the signs be showing that it's going down. You can never go down. Shout it, I will never go down. I'll never struggle one day of my life financially. I'm abundantly rich. So read that scripture and this time around, that verse 8, possess it, make it personal. Want to go. I am like tree planted by along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay evergreen and they never stop producing fruit. I'm telling you, they may fire you from a job. You may lose your investments here. And all you have to sell is water for the moment. That water will bring you more money. Whatsoever I do prospers. I say, whatsoever I do prospers. There is a blessing on my life. I want you to see this. What then should you see? I close with this. Write this down. See God. Once I get you on this platform, if I get you with this thing I'm teaching, I've gotten you right. See God and depend on God through his blessing as the only source of your prosperity financially. I've had God send men to me. And their hearts were opened up to me. And favored me greatly. And I, in turn, am not a taker, I'm a giver. I, in turn, became great blessings to them and gave so much also to them. And I've seen great partnerships start. And one day, for no reason, I can't explain, they just change. And you can't tell why. The first times these things happened, it confused me a bit. But as I prayed in the spirit, the Lord brought me into the mystery of the matter. He said, son, nothing has happened. They don't hate you. It's me. He said, when I provide for you, I know the point that I need to remove that thing so it doesn't become your source. He said, whenever you see me take something, it's because I know if it stays longer, you would start depending on it. He said, your life must be from faith to faith. There will never come a time where you should predict that this is how I'm going to walk in your life. You must relate to me with utmost trust and faith. He said, and because men know how to make an idol out of something that becomes their source. So I will never make my ways one pattern predictable. Because if not, you will start idolizing that. I have a project. That project is 1.5 billion to execute. I go, Shanda lakata yakaraka, la pa 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 pa, lakata kata, la pa. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Father, I won't have any lack for this project. I said, Father, you have 1,001 ways to supply for it. Money is only one. There are many ways that God supplies. I've prayed like this, and something that was supposed to, in fact, the sellers would tell us 350 million lasts. They will labo koto, labo. You look, and what you have in your account is this. Because we have done this, at the end of the day, we get it at 150 million. How did it, and how was it reduced? Okay, if something genuinely was 350 million, and I had 150 million, and God gives it to me at the 150 million, is it not that God has given me 200 million on top? So he mustn't bring the 200 million. He can reduce the price so what I have can take care of it. The point is, you must know the operations of the Spirit. And this is just it. There are many other ways. If I tell you what we see, because our faith is not in money, we see things work even without money. You see people that will call you. Other people are looking for capital. And somebody calls you and said, no, take the goods. Go and sell. Go and sell. Sell. Bring me when you finish selling. You finish selling. He said, don't bring, add it, let me give you more goods. And for 3 years, that is happening consistently until you establish. And you didn't spend one naira. Just favor. And let me warn you, when you're so sure you know that's how God will do it, that's no longer how we do it. So don't go and sit down and be asking God to send you somebody, to send you money. Just claim what you want. Write the scripture down. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. Something is about to happen here. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. These are the scriptures we use to make war in the spirit. Fight the good fight of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. The Amplified Version. I like that one. So let me say again. Psalms 23 verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. These ones are what I call the 101 prosperity scripture. Prosperity 101. The basic. I've not entered the mysteries of it. These ones, when you don't know these ones, you know nothing about prosperity financially. By the Spirit, you don't. Go home. Next Sunday, I'm going to be asking you to quote the scriptures. And I want you to quote it. Memorize them. Don't be lazy. Meditate on them. Memorize them. Meditate on them. Pray in tongues until you can quote them off heart. Quote them off heart. And then start praying in tongues. Pray in tongues with them. Pray in tongues with them. When you're walking, quote them. When you're in your business, quote them. When you're coding, quote them. When you're selling, quote them. When you're in that training, quote them. Whatever you're doing, just play with it. Play with it in the spirit. Play. Be quoting them until your spirit gets it. It doesn't start when it is here. It starts when it enters your spirit. Stand on your feet. Lift your hands everywhere. Lift your hands everywhere. Get me ready. Get me in my place. Lift your hands. Now, quote that scripture in worship. It's on the screen. One to go. Did I hear you? Do you know the depth of that thing you're saying? How many of you have projects to deal with this week? How many of you have things that you want to complete before the end of this year? How many of you have visions, expansions you want to initiate? How many of you have? How many of you have new businesses you want to build? How many of you have businesses you want to upscale? So you quote that scripture again. Go back to, until I tell you to go, go back to Psalm 23. Quote it again. One, two, go. Give me the NLT of it so you understand what we are saying. Read. One, two, go. He didn't say, I will have. That's where I live. I live from a place of supply. So if God gives me a project and I have something and the amount he's giving me, it doesn't scare me. I don't consult my account. My account is not my shepherd. If it is for the church, I don't even ask how much does the church have. It's not my account. It's not my shepherd. What people give is not my shepherd. It is you that is speaking English. I don't have English to speak. I have faith. I trust in the Lord. So I've stayed on this thing. When we bought our first property as a church, 2011, it was a 10.2 plots. They told us the last price they will give us that plot, center of the town, Old Ainek Road. Center. You come from Old Ainek Road, you enter the property. Now, what God has done for us is that the face is now from Obiokoli Road, just after Winners. When we bought that property, they told me 6.5 million last. They ended up selling for 2 million. The property by the side was sold for 6.5 million. Another property by the side was sold for 11 million. We bought our own for 2 million. Not only that, they gave us one plot free. You've never heard it in Igbo land. Have you ever heard it in Igbo land? That one plot is given to you in that kind of place for free. That they are set higher. If I tell you. So let me explain. The day I told them, I said, we are going to give everybody their money on the same day. Lawyer, come for all your legal. Agents, come. Everybody. We even fixed meeting with the Igwe of Opuno and the places, the people that were selling us the property. That I said, gather all the youths. If they have factions, gather all of them. Everything about this property will start one day and finish one day. And I gave them a posted check. I said, we need to enter the property for over 2 weeks. I want to know if anybody will enter. So we entered the property and started clearing. Started doing things. We confirmed. We went to the government, did all their due diligence and all those things. And when the time came, I want you to hear. 24 hours before the time, there was still 11 million to enter. It has not entered. 11 million, 24 hours. Our banker called me and said, Pastor, I believe in you people. I've talked to my superiors. You people are doing so well. I'm seeing this check. Can we pay it as an overdraft? We can prepare it for you. You people come. I said, don't. I said, I have a covenant with God. I don't borrow for his work. I can teach businessmen what to use debt instruments to do their business. But for God's work, I don't borrow. I don't. I said, just delay that check till this time before you take it out for clearing. Can you delay it for me? He said, yes. I said, that's all. I entered my room. These are the things I do. I'm giving you now. I'm cutting soap for you. Because I won't beg them. I won't run to anybody. I stayed in there. I just wrote what I wrote, sent the text, and released it to everybody on my contacts. And tell them it's time. God, whatever you're going to do, do it now. I prayed in. And that was it. He just told me, stand up now and start praising me. That's all. I started praising and praising and praising. Did what he asked me to do. If you see how the thing was happening, by the time we came, everybody came into that place. Everybody. They took us up into that bank. And all the transactions were done. The families got their money. The lawyers got their money. The agents got their money. They brought out the money that will give Igwe. The ones will give the youths. The ones will do everything. And from there, we drove straight. And by the time we finished with everybody and we came back in the evening, there was extra 3 million in that account. You better praise God. You better praise God. I'm a hard worker. Have you not seen it? Have you seen a man that works like me? As a pastor, I teach, like, I pray, I stay here. You know, from Sunday till Friday, we had about 12 sessions. 12. And I'm just coming from trip, so this week is for the sake of those who are with me, I'll give them a day to rest or two. So that they won't, if you work with me, if I don't consider you, you break down. You won't outwork me, but I don't ever rely. God blesses this ministry. That I've never done a project looking at my account. I know my source. The Lord God is my source. Lift your hands and say it again. One, two, go. Shout it again. Are you going to be anxious how that thing will happen? Shout it again. For that expansion, shout it again. I know you want to travel and upgrade your education, and you don't know where that 50 million is going to come from. But the Lord! What about Deuteronomy 8:18? And I will always remember the Lord my God. Who gives me what? To what? To what? I'm empowered for this thing. Money likes me. I'm a money magnet. Money finds purpose in my hands. There are people that when they have money, they abuse creation. They abuse, they destroy God's work. They destroy human beings. But when money comes into my hands, thanksgiving abounds to God. Blessings. Oh, blessings upon blessings on people's life. That he may establish the covenant he swore. So let me tell you, sir. Come. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you a secret. Never forget what I'm about to tell you. Lift your hands as you're listening to me. Prosperity is not just hard work. It's a covenant thing. You know what covenant is? I keep my terms, he keeps his terms. So far as I'm keeping my terms, I can never be poor. Never you forget it. Now, God, everybody lift your hands. Say, Father, reveal to me the secrets and the mystery of the covenant of prosperity. Let our anointing rest upon you, young man. Power of the Holy Ghost. To get wealth. Thank you. Come. Stand. Lift your hands. Pray that prayer. That he may establish that anointing to get wealth. To get wealth. Mr. Pascal, come. Lift your hands. I may not be able to call all of you, but is the hand of the Lord shut? That anointing to get well. Power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Listen. I remember the Lord my God, for it is he who gives me power. It's an anointing. He doesn't give me cash, he gives me power. One of those power is called favor. One of those power is called skill. One of those power is called supernatural strategies, concepts and ideas. Some of those power is hayada kataya kalabahataya katata. From this day forward, whatever God has placed in your hands, whatever vision he has placed in your heart, begins to walk. Prospers exceedingly in the name of Jesus. You will never labor in vain. Now hear me. There is seed time and harvest that follows after the natural order. But there is seed time and harvest that doesn't follow the natural order. Because there are natural seeds and there are spiritual seeds. Raise your hands. There is another seed. The blessing. The blessing. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. Raise your hands fast. Look at the screen and declare it. Possess it. One to go. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich. Place your hands on your head and declare it. One more time. So every bitterness in your mind, gossip, looking for things, gossip, gossip upon gossip, thinking about, speaking about people, that's poverty. People, poor people discuss people. Poor people are always temperamental, looking for who to blame, looking for who to hurt them. As you bless your hands, the Lord God is uprooting those things from your mind in the name of Jesus Christ. From today, every space of your mind is for visions, is for ideas, is for progress in the name of Jesus Christ. Place the hands on your head. There are some of you that It's been long you got a very sound idea that shifted your level. Hey, do you want me to close now? But there is an anointing on me now. There is something that is on me now. I told you, this fourth service is sacrifice. So you don't know when we start. We don't know when we close. We are dealing with serious things here. Lebondeka, close your eyes and pray in the spirit. There is a shift. It's been long. Some ideas entered into your mind that shifted your financial position. It's going to be happening now. That one connection, that one open door. You will come into an information. You will come into something. Now shout again. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich and has no sorrow in it. Let your mind open up the visions for wealth. Strategies for abundance. In the name of Jesus. That anointing strengthens you. Laziness is over. That thing that makes you, when you're on social media, you can spend hours. But when you want to read a book, you start feeling like sleeping. When you're talking with people and you're just gisting, or you're watching a movie, you're strong. But when it comes to learning and doing a work, you easily feel tired. That devil is a liar. I said that devil is a liar. That devourer of your time, that devourer of your focus and concentration, is rebuked now. Receive the character to stay, the character to be diligent, the character, that grace is imparted unto you now. You've played for too little for too long. You've played for too little for too long. The blessing is opening your mind. The blessing is exploding your desires and your dreams. Your desires are elevated. Your dreams are enlarged. In the name of Jesus. And my God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The last scripture, and then we'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. The Amplified Version. Lift your hands now. What do you do with these scriptures? Go home and meditate on them until they become second nature. Did you hear me? You have to memorize them or quote them off heart. Be able to quote them wherever. Keep with them and stay there until your spirit takes hold of it. That's when prosperity starts. Now possess them, want to go, and God is able. Every favor and every earthly bless come to me in abundance, so that I always and under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient. Possessing enough. Whoever is here that has been living by begging, your begging days are over. Whoever is here and you've been living by the sympathy of others, those days are over. I hear the Lord say to me, you will give to those who have helped you. You will bless those who has blessed you. Give him praise.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld, or contact us at 006-275-3333.
0244-233-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.